Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Be seated. Ushers, thank you. Thank you, praise and worship. While you're turning to Isaiah 61, let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship. Lord, we thank you for this offering time. That was all for you. We're grateful because we do get blessed in the process, but that was for you. Lord, we're excited for this moment right now because this moment's for us, that you can minister to us, you can help us, strengthen us, and encourage us. So, Lord, as we study the scriptures, we ask and we allow the great Holy Spirit to do what he does best, to teach us, to help us, to remind us, bring back to our remembrance all those things we've been taught over these years. Bring back to our remembrance the importance and the power of your word. Bring back to our remembrance what we once walked in if we've kind of drifted away or got pulled away. And Lord, I thank you right now. Today's one of those days. You're going to continue to help us and strengthen us and propel us in the days ahead. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 61, just sit there for a quick moment. Bring everybody back up to speed where we've been at. You know, I like to do a quick little review to just kind of keep that before your hearts and your minds to understand why we're dealing with this and why we're talking about certain topics for so long. Now, we started off this year like we do every year, 21 days of prayer and fasting. The Lord gave me three things to pray for. Number one was consecration. Number two was direction. Three was anointing. Now, we preached and taught on consecration for a couple of services. And, of course, you know, just to simplify what we're talking about, it's a dedicated life to Jesus Christ, right? But it's not how you want to dedicate your life. It's how God said we're supposed to dedicate our lives, what he's looking for, what he expects. What he's, you know, I'll say it this way, what he died for, so you and I could look and live like. Amen. So we talked about consecration. Then we talked about direction. Direction is the will of God. And of course, we got to get some things back in focus in the body of Christ. You know, because a lot of people, you know, when they're praying for the will of God, they're asking God to bless their whatever. God to, you know, God, this is what I want you to do. I want your thumb. I want your hand of endorsement on. I want you to bless this. I want you to anoint this. You know, I don't know where I heard this from, but I heard somebody say it this way. You know, we want God to bless our mess. You know, the world has this saying, well, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. That doesn't work in God's kingdom. Because even if you've messed up, you did something without his permission, he's not going to allow you to stay there. If you really get before him and say, Lord, help me, he's going to say, okay, good, I never told you to be here. So let's fix this, get you out of this, and I'll get you back on the path I told you to be on. I'm not just going to allow you to stay where you want. I'm going to bring you to where I purpose for you to be. So we were talking about the will of God, and of course, we brought it, the very first thing that we all have to understand, God's will. It's not your bank account. Sorry. It's not your spouse. Sorry. It's not whatever you want. The main focus of God's will is salvation. It's eternal. Amen? He's eternally minded. He knows that there's a hell waiting for us, not by his design, but because Adam fell. Sin's in the nature, the human nature. Sin's waiting for each and every one of us, and sin is leading every one of us to hell. So God's purpose, his number one will, is that all men, say all men, all men would come to repentance, right? That we don't go to hell. But the only way that works is if we dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ, we meet him, walk with him, go be with him, that we escape these things because of what he did. We can't just do it however we want. You know, one of the issues that we see with the very first family is Cain. Cain developed this attitude that's running rampant in the body of Christ today. Cain developed this attitude that he was going to worship God how he wanted, serve God how he wanted. God deals with him. That's God's mercy. He said, hey, listen, just go back to what you were once doing. When you were doing it this way, did I not receive? He goes, Cain, have you noticed? You're the one with the attitude problem, not me. I've noticed your countenance has fallen. You've got an attitude problem, boy. What are you doing? Why are you acting this way? Go back to what you once did. See, our God in his mercy will always bring us back to where we once were. Not where you were in your past life. I'm talking where we were if we've gotten out of the will of God. Bring us back to that place, that remembrance of, remember how good it was under my anointing? Don't you think maybe you want to come back to that? He's not saying, oh, you blew it, you missed it, get out of here. Depart from me, never come back again. No, he's always trying to bring us back to that place beside him. But Cain, like a lot of the body of Christ today, developed such an attitude with God. By God, I'm going to do it my way. And then somehow he got this idea, this attitude. If I take out my brother, then God will have no other choice but to receive what I want to bring him. He kills his brother, and guess what didn't happen? What Cain thought. God said, that's not how this works, boy. It's my way or no way. Now, you can do whatever you want, but God's saying, no, I'm not changing for you. So Cain, you know, he ends up being cursed by God, and of course, you know, that whole story, that whole deal. But then we go to the New Testament. Before the book of Revelation, it's the very last warning that God, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to the apostles to bring warning to you and I, believers. And it says, do not go the way of Cain. Don't develop this attitude with your God that you can worship him, serve him, and do whatever you want in this kingdom, and he's just going to bless it for you. So when we're talking about the will of saved, and then you taking that out into the will of God for every human's life, all the other stuff, yes, we find it in the scriptures. Yes, we find that God does want you blessed. God does want to take care of. God does want to provide. Obviously, healing, deliverance, all of that stuff is there for us. It's in the scriptures. Jesus paid for it with his blood. We know that. But salvation has to be primary. And then winning and leading other people to Jesus Christ. That is the will of God for our lives. And then you'll find, and many of us have, as you go through this life, it doesn't matter what your career path is, doesn't matter what your education is, doesn't matter. You'll find out that God is leading you, navigating you through all these things for that purpose of, number one, salvation. He'll allow you to use those things to minister his gospel. He'll allow you to go to these different things to bring other people to him. Not so you can build your kingdom, but so we can build his kingdom. Amen. So we dealt with that. The will of God. Direction. Then we've been dealing with these last several services with that third one, anointing. We need the anointing of God. The anointing of God, we can simply say it's the presence of God in your life. It's not just simply showing up to church and saying, I know God. I know a whole lot of people across this country. In fact, I know, it's kind of weird for me to say, I never thought I would say this the way I grew up. I know people all over the planet now, which is kind of weird for me anyways. But just because I know them all over the planet and I can say, I know that person, I'm not in their presence and they're not in mine. And yes, we're friends and I can call upon, but I'm not in their presence. Therefore, even though we're friends across the globe or across this country, they can't be there in that time of need to help me when I need them the most. So the anointing of God is the presence of God in your life, on your life, doing what only the presence of God can do. Amen. And of course, we dealt with the verse in Isaiah that said, you know, that the anointing lifts burdens. The anointing breaks yokes. We need the anointing on our lives. But it doesn't just stop there. It's our job, our assignment from heaven, by God Almighty, Jesus Christ commissioned us to take that same anointing and then to bring it to other people, to do the exact same thing it's doing in your life. Lift burdens, break yokes. Amen. So that's what I want to deal with for a few moments this morning. I want to deal with, okay, we've got the verse, we say it, but what does that look like? What does that mean? Now, Isaiah deals with this again, and of course, Isaiah, he's prophesying, he's speaking about Jesus, and of course, I want to deal with it in Isaiah with what he has to say, and then, of course, Jesus, when he said the exact same thing, but in both passages, there's a couple of things that are a little different, but it just adds to it, it amplifies it. Amen? So, Isaiah 61, are you there? If you're taking notes, you can write verses 1 through 3, and it says in verse 1 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open, or in the opening of prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So when we talk about the anointing of God, we talk about the presence of God in our lives, we understand it's going to lift burdens. It's going to break yokes. And again, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, Isaiah just said what it's going to look like. When the anointing comes upon our life, this is what it's supposed to be doing in our lives. And then on top of that, this is what we're supposed to be bringing wherever we go. Amen? Hold your spot there for just a moment. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now again, Isaiah is prophesying. Jesus is fulfilling. So Luke chapter 4. Again, if you're taking notes, once you find Luke 4. Verses 18 and 19. So Luke 4, 18 and 19. In your Bible, it should be red letters. So this is Jesus speaking. And it says, and it's going to sound very similar to what Isaiah just said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus is fulfilling what Isaiah prophesied, but it's all talking about the anointing of God. Now Jesus came so we could do. If I could simplify that. When he said, you're going to do the things that I do. Well, he just said, this is what he came to do. So if we're going to do the things that he did, this is what we're supposed to be doing. What Jesus said. Of course, we go back to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, you know, this is what he's going to do when he comes. When the Messiah comes, this is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to bring. So I just wrote a quick little list out of this, the things that Jesus is going to do. And what the anointing of God should be doing in your life, and what you should be bringing to other people's lives. Number one, Isaiah said, to preach good tidings. Now, Jesus said the same thing, to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel, the good news. Well, how are you going to preach the gospel without the word? Now, you and I can preach, you know, and this happened in Jesus' ministry, and we saw this, that Jesus would lay hands on, heal the sick, heal the blind, deal with things, cleanse the leper. He would do, but then he would also say, don't go tell anybody. Now, he wasn't saying don't go tell anybody so nobody knows that God's doing. He was trying to still stay active in his ministry that he could just come and go, because he knew the moment everybody realized that the healer is here, he wouldn't have access to the cities like he did, which is why later on he would actually send out the disciples and he would kind of stay back. But what did he do? He was preaching, you know, so these people would go out and they'd preach what he did. In part. They preached what they experienced, which was only in part. So that, great, they got healed. They were still hellbound. They were healed, but they may still be bound to sin or some other weird deal. They may not be free. They may have other issues and problems. So they were only able to preach in part. They brought good news. Hey, the healer's here. Remember the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? You got to come and see this guy who told me everything about my life. Well, when we read the scriptures, there's only about one aspect of her life. But she was so turned on and impressed by God that what he said, she's like, this is truly a prophet. This is true. You got to come and hear this man, what he said, what he's saying, because he's got words of life. And she went out and just began to preach all over the place. And what happened? The city emptied out to find him. All because of what? He exposed that she was a harlot. She was living in sin. Now, that's not all that the good news brings. So if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to get into the Word of God to find out what the good news is, all of it. Because you're not going to know who you need to speak to about what they're dealing with. And if you don't know what the Word of God has to say about their issue, their problem, what they're wrestling with, how to get out of it, how to deal with it, if you don't know what it says, then how are you going to bring good news to it? Well, I went to church and I felt great. The pastor said that Jesus wants to do things in my life and he wants to bring healing and deliverance. Okay, great. What does that mean? Having a clue. But you need to go. Your zeal and excitement might bring some people. It's not going to bring everybody. But when you can say, no, this is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what he wants to do in your life. We're to preach the good news, the full, Paul said it, the full counsel. Everything this has to say. Amen. And especially in a day where there's so much confusion. Everybody's confused about everything. They're confused about which end is up. They're confused about their plumbing. They're confused about what's right and wrong. They're confused about moral issues. They're confused about everything today. So when we got to bring the gospel, the full gospel, which means we got to spend time in the Word of God. Say it, time in the Word of God. So, first thing Isaiah said is preach good tidings. Then it says what? Bind up the brokenhearted. Bind up the brokenhearted. Those that are hurting. You know, it's easy to say, it's going to be okay. Well, that's great. How many people have ever heard it's going to be okay about some issue in your life? Well, great. That makes me feel good. It's going to be okay. How? I don't care what it's going to be. I need to know how to get there. What do you mean it's going to be okay? What do you mean that God loves me and he knows and he's got an answer? What answer? So when it says that he's going to bind up the brokenhearted, it's going to bring restoration to the heart that's so heavy and broken and like, where is my God? If God is in control, how could this happen? Which means you're also going to bring clarity to some issues. But bind up the brokenhearted, bring in healing. Restoration to those that are just, I hope you're not there today, but maybe you are. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't experience this at some point in their life. And if you don't, I don't think you are really living. That something comes that just doesn't break you, deal with you, betrayal, hurt, loss. Life by itself will bring some of these things. Never mind an enemy who hates you because you walk with God. Or an enemy that hates you because you're looking for God. Life will bring this all by itself. And then you find God, you walk with God, and then you got to deal with Christians. Now, some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about, but just let me preach for a moment. Christians are the greatest people on the planet until they become the worst people on the planet. Because they sound all Christianese. They have all the right sayings as they're acting like Judas behind your back. And everybody goes, I just don't understand what happened. I just can't believe. I refuse to believe. Well, I don't care what you refuse to believe. They're a Judas. But they claim Christ. See, there's things that happen in the world that you're kind of like, well, I expect that. But when it happens in here, you know how many preachers have quit because of God's people? You know how many preachers who have been destroyed because of God's people? They poured out everything they had, they loved. Now, thank God, most of you will never know that, experience that. Only God can bring restoration to that. Only God can bring restoration to a preacher who's lived and experienced that. I'm watching that right now. I'm watching some preachers go through this right now. Just people turning and what they're doing. But it's nothing new. They did it to our Jesus. He's preaching life. He's healing. He's raising the dead, and yet they want his blood. So they can't really come up with anything against him, so they make false accusation. That's happening right now in America to a lot of preachers. Like never before. It's always been happening, but like never before. Anyways, the anointing. When you bring the anointing, it's going to bring healing. But not just healing. How about restoration? Healing's one thing, restoration's another. to proclaim liberty to the captive, those that are bound. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live under that worry, that fear, that anxiety. You don't have to live under the hurt, the pain of what you broke in your past. You don't have to live under, listen, there's some issues of life today, you know, that Satan will come and beat you up because religion will beat you up. Oh, you dirty dog, you got divorced. You know, some of us who, you know, came from the Catholic Church, not knocking, but hey, we came there. Most of us came from that. Oh, good Lord, you got divorced. They excommunicate you. Well, where's healing going to come from? Who's going to help us if we can't come here? That was my family. Not me and Kate, but that's my family. That's my background. So if you can't help us, who can? Aren't you supposed to be the place of hope? Aren't you supposed to be the place of restoration? Aren't you supposed to be the place of love? And you just kicked us out in our greatest time of need. You think Satan doesn't bring that back and beat people up over that? Come on. The only real enemy, the only real weapon Satan has against a believer is your past. And he'll do everything he can to keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up. And if you've gone through a divorce, listen, we're praying for you. We don't judge you. We're praying for you that God will bring restoration to your soul, to your spirit, help you during that time, deal with you, build you back up, strengthen you, and that if God and you down the road remarry or whatever, you don't bring that weight into that next covenant. Only God can do that, because otherwise Satan's showing up and he's meddling and messing with things. Not judging anybody. I know a lot of women who aborted children before Christ. That messes with, and Satan comes back and beats them up and torments them. Like I have yet to meet a woman outside of Christ that they're not tormented all the days of their life because of that. Now, yes, it's a sinful act. We're not saying it's okay. Oh, you're a Christian, you can do it. He'll make it. No, that's not what we're saying. Only God can bring restoration to that. But I'm talking about proclaim liberty to the captive. Satan will keep people bound to things that they've done. You did do it. You broke it. You caused it. But Satan will want, he'll want to keep you there. And Jesus is saying, listen, I can not only forgive you, but I can restore you. I can bring peace to you. This will never be okay, but I can restore you. I can forgive you. I can help you. I can bring you up out of this, that you don't have to live under this. And when God shows up and helps people with this, I know other women before Christ and then after Christ, that those women are now using what they lived through and the experience and the torment that came with it. Now they're ministering and doing this very thing, bringing the anointing of God to help other women that didn't know. Today, come on. They fight for their right. They celebrate when they pass laws. Until you find yourself on the other side of that door. And then Satan beats you up all the days of your life. I'm not judging. I'm saying if you've been there, you've been down that road, you know what I'm talking about. Only Jesus can set you free from the pain, the hurt, the decisions, and bring restoration and forgiveness to you. We're not judging you. We're not condemning you. We're pointing you to the one. We're trying to bring the anointing that only Jesus. Hey, how about this is men and women wrongfully used by people, violated. Oh, I know people, they've met Jesus Christ, they walk with Jesus Christ, but they're still bound in that prison of what somebody else did to them. But then again, I also know other people that they did live that, they did experience that. They met Jesus Christ, the anointing of God came on, set them free. Oh, they remember everything that happened. That's still not right. But there's a freedom that they walk in now, that no longer keeps them imprisoned, bound, tormented. See, we're talking about the anointing of God, why this is so important, why we need this, what it's supposed to look like when we bring it, right? This is also the reason why Satan's doing everything he can. Oh, he doesn't care if we meet here. He doesn't care if we have the biggest church going and blowing in the state of Massachusetts. In fact, he'd almost want it if we had no power. Oh, go ahead, congregate. Celebrate. Celebrate the fact that you guys are still bound. Celebrate the fact that you guys are still living under bondage. Celebrate the fact that you've got no freedom, you've got no peace, you've got no strength. Celebrate the fact that you haven't been healed. Oh, he's got no problem if we have thousands of people congregating together if there's no power. He'll even help it because he wants a powerless church so he can just keep those people. We claim Christ, but we live under his authority. But the anointing of God dismisses him. The anointing of God will set the captives free. Amen. And then when it says, you know, that the anointing will open prison doors, this doesn't mean we're going down to MCI Shirley and popping the doors open. But not only just those that are bound. Some of them, they're just carrying these weights around with them. That's that bound part. But then some people are just so imprisoned. Even born-again, spirit-filled believers, that they can find themselves imprisoned. I just can't leave the house. You just don't know what I'm going through. Well, you're right. I may not know what you're going through, but I know the one who does. Do you want to stay here? Or do you want to get out of here? Now, I can drag you out, but I know you're going to crawl right back. But if you meet the anointed one, his anointing will not only open up those doors, he'll open up the blinds so you can see clearly, so you can get out of there and stay out. And once you leave, he'll shut and lock the door behind you so you don't find yourself back there. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. This isn't just for yesterday. This is for today. And if Jesus tarries, it'll be for tomorrow. And every day that Jesus tarries, it will continue. That this wasn't just 2,000 years ago. The anointing of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It didn't die with the apostles, like some people like to say. Well, healing was in their day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Jesus. So if he was healing then, he's healing today. And if he tarries, he'll be healing tomorrow. If he was delivering then, he's delivering today, and he will deliver tomorrow. No matter how long we're on this planet, we're walking with him, his anointing, this is the acceptable. This is a good time to be alive because God's anointing and his power is working right now because Satan will convince people, well, you should have been alive then because it's not working today. Oh, it might not be working in your life, but it's working in the lives who are walking with the anointed one. And you and I, this is what we're supposed to bring. This is what we're supposed to be experiencing in our lives and bringing to other people. Because this is what Jesus did. And he commissioned us by his name, by his anointing, by his blood to do the same thing. Amen? That we bring. How about, oh, this one we don't like. The modern church hates this one. How about the vengeance of our God? Nah, that's not a New Testament doctrine, so we don't believe that. Really? Have you read the book of Revelation? Have you read when the Apostle Paul was so irritated and frustrated with the sorcerer who had the governor's ear? He's like, I've had enough of you. Shut up. Be blind. And they had to lead him out. How about when Paul said, I handed him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh because he was a pervert and he wouldn't change for the destruction of his flesh that he might learn not to blaspheme. How about Ananias and Sapphira? These are all after death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pray to God that the anointing of God doesn't hit this place so strong that we have an Ananias and Sapphira moment in here. I'm telling you right now, I don't want one of those moments in here. No preacher wants that moment in here, but that wasn't Satan, that was God. And God's going to deal with things. How about when he says, touch not my anointed? Well, that's an Old Testament verse. Really? Huh. Then explain to me how the man who got in my father-in-law's face at the gun shop, because that was his kind of leisure place, and he just kind of, you know, enjoyed God and was ministering to those guys in the gun shop. that this guy got in his face and started poking him in the forehead and said, I'm going to expose you. You're stealing from all those people with this tithe thing. You're asking for 20%. He's like, it's 10%. But it shows how ignorant people are. But he started poking him in the forehead. I'm going to expose you. I'm going after you. Some of you know the story. I'm not rejoicing over this. Within a couple of weeks, he was in a car accident and his head was decapitated. Touch not my anointed. Don't touch God's. Wait a minute, that's not just the preacher. That's you. You're anointed by God. You think God is going to sit back and let people mess with your life? You think God is going to sit back and let the world just do what they want, Satan do whatever he wants in your life? No. Proclaim the vengeance of our God. Now, we're not going around saying, God, sick them. No, we're going to be like Moses, getting on our faces. God, spare them, please. Don't. Jesus came. Jesus said, forgive. Stephen said, forgive them. Don't cast this at their feet, Lord. Forgive them. No, that's the heart, the attitude we're supposed to have. We know that. I just preached this a couple of services ago, maybe last Tuesday. You know, the sons of thunder, John and James, when they rejected Jesus, can we? They had faith to do it. They knew they could do it. Can we call down fire from heaven? I know you're all smiling right now because you thought about that. Wait a minute, we can do this? No. But they had the faith for it. Why? Because Elijah did it. That was a man of God, and if he called down fire from heaven, we can. They had the faith for it, but what did Jesus say? Your attitude's wrong. You don't know what spirit you're of. That's not why I came. That's not who I am, and that's not who you're supposed to be. But are there times where we deal with things when God says yes? Paul just didn't hand that man over because Paul was just irritated. God told him to. I think about another man, Lester Summerall. God told him to do something, go to a specific bank that they were going to give him the money for it, and the bank president said, I don't like preachers, I don't like you, and you're not getting a dime from us. In fact, I'll make sure no bank gives you money. Now, Summerall didn't just get up and say this because he wanted to. God told him to. But God had already prepared him what this president was going to do and how he was going to act. But he stood up and said, I curse you to hell right now. God told me, and God's going to do this. This bank will give me that money because God told me to come here. That night, that man dropped of a heart attack. You and I don't have permission to go around cursing people. But to say that God won't deal with people, because after all, we're saved by grace, you might want to read your Bible a little bit better. But to get off of that part of it, how about when people just feel like they're just beat up, they're worried, and just like, yeah, you know, it's like no matter where I turn, somebody's mouthing, somebody's attacking, somebody's doing. Yeah, when you bring the anointing of God saying, you think God's going to let this thing go? Don't worry about it. God's got it. This is why I said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Not yours, not Peter's, God's. Amen. God will deal with that. My father-in-law used to say it this way. They're not getting away with it. They never get away with it. God will deal with them. Thank God, and in his mercy, he will go to the fullest extent, Pharaoh. 10 plagues was the fullest extent for Pharaoh to get his attention. But he knew he wasn't going to change. That's why he prepped Moses. He's not going to change, but I'm going to give him every opportunity too, because I'm a just God. I'm a merciful God. But when I finally deal with him, I'll be right in doing so. See, that part of our God is missing in the modern doctrines. Because for some reason, they think that our God changed after Jesus died on the cross. Like they treat our God like God, Jehovah, got born again himself. No, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God will deal with, just as he dealt with people in the past, he'll deal with people in the future. But sometimes, you know, people just need to hear that, you know, when you're beaten up and it seems like everybody's against you. Now, it's not, oh, God's going to sick them, but God knows what's going on. God's going to deal with this. And we start bringing testimony and stories and accounts of how God brought people out of and how God dealt with and how God silenced. May just be a shutting of mouths. But God silenced the critics. God silenced. You know, why do you think he told the Apostle Paul? Just go. My grace is sufficient for thee. If you know the account, Paul's like, Lord, I cried out to you 3 times. Now, some scholars and some Bible commentators say, well, he must have had like a sore, a pain, a burr. No. If you study church history and you actually study the scriptures, you find out that every place that Paul was going, the Pharisees were sending people ahead of him to try to discredit him from when he showed up to preach the gospel. So Paul is like, Lord, come on. Every time I show up, there's already a band of people here already discrediting me, trying to mess with the ministry. And Lord, are you going to deal with? Lord, are you going to deal with? Lord, are you going to deal with? Anybody ever been there? God's response, and it's funny, God said it once and Paul never questioned it again. Go and preach, my grace is sufficient for thee. What did he mean by that? You go and preach my word, I will prove my word preach, and my word being proven preach will shut them up. Yes. And eventually that's exactly what happened. And then it gave him access to Caesar, which is why you and I have the gospel today. But what if he did this without the anointing? He would have quit. He would have backed off. He would have stopped going to where God told him to go. Thank God for the anointing. Say it right now. Thank God for the anointing. Also, to comfort those that mourn, to bring help. People going through things. I know people come to church for this. This is why a lot of people end up in church. Actually, I think this is what brought most of us to church at one point. Everything was falling apart in our lives. Issues, problems. We couldn't find help anywhere else. We're desperate. We're mourning. There's a loss. There's something going on. We come to church and thank you, Jesus, for anointed, spirit-filled believers that would surround us, help us, anoint us, pray for us, stand with us, and it would bring comfort. It would start to bring peace. It would start ministering the love of God in our lives. This is what the anointing is supposed to do. And it's amazing. God's anointing isn't just for believers because it says to all that mourn. It's amazing how much influence you can have because of the anointing, no matter where you go and what their belief is, that when you bring the anointing of God to somebody who is in that moment, that it can start to lift them up. And of course, God will use that to say, hey, I'm trying to get your attention here. I'm still God. I love you. I have a plan for you. I didn't leave you. I didn't forsake you. I'm trying to get your attention right now. But we're to bring this anointing to everywhere we go to help everybody. I know many of us, because I pastor you, I know a lot of your stories, I know your accounts. God's done this for us. This is why it becomes so easy for us to go, wait a minute, I've lived this. I know how this works. Let me tell you, God will show up. He is on the scene. He's working on this right now. I can't explain what he's doing because I can't see God. I'm not God. But I can tell you, he's working on this. And I'll stand with you, I'll stand by you, I'll pray for you, I'll encourage you, because that's what we do, because somebody did that for me. And it brought me out of whatever I was in, whatever place I was at. Amen? Then to anoint them that mourn. Appoint is what it says in King James, but that means to appoint them, to direct them, to get them into that place. All right, this anointing isn't just for me. I just had this conversation with somebody the other day because, you know, a mutual friend, acquaintance of ours just passed away young. Horrible way to die, you know, cancer and just too young and just so. But the hope I had is that at the end, because I didn't have much access to this individual, it's at the end he was searching. He went back to his roots. He was raised in church. He was raised in a spirit-filled church. And at the end of his life, he was going back to that. He was back in church. And in fact, I heard he just got water baptized, a couple weeks prior. I'm like, all right, there's hope. He was searching. He was going back to. He was listening to a pastor. He was back in church. But our other friend doesn't have any of that. So we were just talking, and I went to go check on him because I could see it was really heavy on him. And as we're talking, I'm like, yeah, you know, with what we do, I mean, that's the one aspect of my, if I hate saying it this way, but my job. That's the one thing I hate doing. I rejoice when, he wouldn't get this, so I didn't say this, I'm saying this to you. I rejoice, and we have. I rejoice when we know where they're going. I rejoice when they've received their promotion. You know, we get hung up maybe on the age, but we still rejoice on they got their promotion. They won their battle. They're on the victory side now. Whatever they were dealing with down here, it's all gone. It's a full restoration, healing, wholeness. It's all, praise God. They got their promotion. They're where we want to be. That's easy. It's harder when we don't know. The hard part about that too is dealing with and helping and encouraging people. Wait a minute, you're going to see them again. You're going to be with them again. This is what we're believing for. How we live down here, that's on us. Our time, that's in His hands. He knows when our last day is going to be. How we live to that last day, that's on us. So helping people to get to that, wait a minute, no, God's got them. They're with God. I'm going to go be with them once again. We've got, at this point, too many people in here now, in heaven. We're building another church in heaven right now. We're sending a lot of Pastor Carey's former members to heaven right now. And we're going to catch up to them very soon. We rejoice because we know where they are. That's easy. And that's what I was saying to him. I'm like, but, you know, when we're dealing with, and I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I've taken that pulpit, even in those great services, and I've had that moment where I can feel it coming on me because I'm sad they're not here. I have that, you know, I'm not, I know everybody thinks I'm cold. I'm not that cold. I do have some emotions. And when people I love go, I'm going to miss them. But I know it's not forever. But I've stood here. I don't think there's been one yet that we've done where I haven't had a moment where I was like, all right, pull it together. Get your attitude right. Because there are people in here that are hurting right now, that they do have questions that they don't know the answers to. That not only can we bring that help, but we can start to anoint them, that anointing come back upon them, to remind them. Because with that anointing, God's comfort comes. His peace comes. His hope comes back. Can you say amen? To give beauty for ashes. To help you put something down and take something on. You know, when you're carrying that weight, that heaviness, you know, in the Old Testament, we see they'd go through, they'd mourn, they'd do, they'd tear their clothes, they put sackcloths on. Please don't do that. Come walking in here with a potato sack on. Please don't. But please come in here with something on. But they come in, it's talking about they carry themselves in a way that it's not just that they're in mourning, everything about them, everything's changed, everything's altered. Their whole lifestyle has just changed now. The heaviness is on them that we bring the anointing of God to say, all right, you can lay that down and get back under the anointing that you can be lifted back up with our God. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. That joy will come back to you. Amen. Pam sitting there. I'm thinking about when Rainey stepped into heaven. I'm still ticked off about that. I'll deal with Rainey when I get there. I know Pam will before I do, but I'm still ticked off about that. And I said that, and that was me dealing with me at that moment when we were in that service, because there were some people who showed up. I'm like, why are you here? You weren't his friend at the end. Why are you here? But that's what we do. It makes us feel better. And I did. If you were there, I had my moment. I'm like, you know what? I'm ticked off he's gone. I'd rather I send some of you up there. I didn't say send them to hell. I want them to go to heaven. But I was irritated that they were here. See, nobody's exempt from this. But to take off that heaviness, because as I got ministering, it's not just for the preacher. But as I began to minister, thinking about all the things that God had done in Rainey's life, Cindy's life, my father-in-law's life, and we can go down, mom's life, you know, Dan and Kay, they're at a wedding right now, but, you know, Dan's grandmother, you know, what God had done in their lives. You start thinking about the goodness of our God, and there's others, so just, if I didn't mention yours, thinking about that, it starts to bring me joy, going, wait a minute, God did this here for them while they were here. What are they experiencing right now? And if God would do what they did, what he did for them while they were here, what will he do for me right now? And it starts taking that heaviness off, and the anointing brings the joy of God, because it starts to strengthen you and remind you, wait a minute, we're just passing through. This is temporary. Now I'm only using one. I'm using death and funerals as just one. But pick something else in your life. Loss, betrayal, friends who have gone, friends who have betrayed, people have checked out. We live in a day, but a lot of people are checking out. You think that was the only human being on this planet that could be your close friend? You think that God doesn't have another one for you? Or a better one for you? You know? We've had people in here, you know, just because you didn't have good parents growing up, or maybe your parents aren't even here, you think God hasn't, through his anointing, allowed others in the house of God to become spiritual moms and dads to you? That's what he does. And it's through his anointing that it starts to bring and deal with all of these things. Amen? That we can put off. And then, of course, it says to put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Garment of praise. It's not you just, okay, I got to go change my coat. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's how you live, how you talk. It's your being, where you're going, what you're doing. That, you know, you can go from that place, because we all do. You know, if you've had any type of, I'm just using the loss thing. If you've had a loss in your life, you know that, you know. You can't smell things without remembering. You can't see things without remembering. You can't look at some picture. You can't look at some whatever. You can't do without remembering. And you remember, and usually that brings, oh, they're not here. And I'm not belittling. But God says, I can take that off, that when you look at those things, you can rejoice. It's not going to keep you down, but it's going to lift you up. Because as each day ticks by, that's one more day we're closer to seeing and being reunited again. And God reminds us, and we start praising, wait a minute, I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be found worthy to escape all the things that are coming. To go be with him once again. This is what the anointing does. A good sermon doesn't do this. It takes the anointing of God to do this. A great praise and worship session doesn't do this. It takes the anointing of God on the worship to bring this. The elders in the house can't do this just by bringing you a good word and encouraging you. It's the anointing that's on them that ministers this. This is why the anointing of God is so important. This is how burdens are lifted. This is how yokes are destroyed, when we bring the anointing and God begins to deal with these things. Amen? That he might be called the trees of righteousness. The trees of righteousness. And plant the number 12 on my list, and that with Isaiah was planted of the Lord. That God will plant your feet. That you're going to be so stabilized. Strengthened in God because of the anointing of God, that not only are you strengthened, but you're growing, you're flourishing, you're thriving. Yeah, I get it. You know, listen, this is the reality. When a loved one goes, I'm just staying on this one because it's an easy target. Yeah, when a loved one leaves the planet, goes to be with our God, that's the goal. But the understanding is that we all say it, and there's truth to this. It'll never be the same. You're right. It won't be. It can't be. We can't go back and relive, because there's nothing to relive. It won't be the same. But that doesn't mean that's where it died. And that doesn't mean that's where you have to die. Though many people, they set up camp, and that's where they live the rest of the days of their life, in a place that you can't even live there. There's no life there. But God says, when I plant you, you're going to thrive once again. You're going to grow once again. Sure, things will be different, but they were going to be different anyways. You know, when I was younger, and I watched this, and, you know, through my life, and it just kind of, you know, it didn't really register. And then my grandfather passed. I was very close to my grandfather. I didn't really have the dad relationship that I should have had, but, you know, that's its own deal. But I got close to my grandfather, especially in his latter years. And, of course, when he passed, he left, you know, 90-plus years of age, so he had a good life, strong life. Praise God for it. But we're at the funeral home, and, of course, they're doing the whole little wake thing, which I hate those. But anyways, we're just there, and I'm talking with my aunt, my uncle, and of course they're all talking because, you know, my grandfather had, you know, just passed. My uncle's parents had, you know, passed, you know, in the last couple of years. And then somebody came up, and I'm listening to the conversations, and I'm watching my uncle. He goes, yeah, you know, this is just how it is. And then one day, you know, it won't be all that long, this will be turned around and our kids will be standing here and we're going to be over there. And I'm like, you're kind of morbid. And then I looked at him and he goes, what? This is just how life works. It was going to head this way anyways. It's the attitude we have on the way there. He goes, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it. He said, we could live right here at the casket and then not live the rest of the days of our lives, though one day we're going to end up there. Now, in Jesus' name, we won't. The trumpet will blow and we're all out of here. But the point being is I got thinking about that, and just the way he said that and just his attitude about it, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. That is life. And I'm not saying it's life, get over it. The point is, listen, you can't live in the past. And the anointing won't allow you to live in the past. The anointing's going to bring you forward. So, because you can't thrive in the past, you can only thrive in your future. And the anointing will bring you to that place and grow you and stabilize you and help you that you can enjoy those things from your past. Remember, and remember with a good remembrance, and rejoice and celebrate. And come on, you know, we do this with my father-in-law. He's in heaven. He's been in heaven now 17 years. We can't talk about him now without laughing. The things that he did, the attitude, the joy, the life that that man had, and anybody who walked with him, you knew that firsthand. The man was just larger than life. The joy, the excitement. Well, we could let that die with him or realize that was the anointing that was on him, and that same anointing that was on him can get on us. And we're enjoying life now. Now we're looking back at, yeah, we had fun, we did that, praise God, but man, how much more does God want to do now with us? Amen? Because that's the point. God wants that anointing to get you to a place out of the tragedy, out of the hurt, out of the pain, out of the brokenness, out of the sinful behavior, out of all that stuff, plant you in his kingdom. Yes. That it can grow and mature you, that you thrive and you go with God. Amen? Amen. Of course, if we jump over to Luke's account now, preach the gospel. We talked about that. Heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captive. Recovery sight to the blind. Recovery sight to the blind. You realize that this world is blinded to the things of God? Do you realize that also a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-stomping believer can find themselves in a place of blindness if they get out from underneath the anointing? And I'm not even talking about the covering of a pastor, because people all get weird and goofed up and messed up over that. I'm talking away from the anointing. You get away from the anointing of God, Satan will come and blind you once again. He'll bring you right back to where you once were. You may still be going to heaven, but you're going to be blind on the way. And God said, he'll bring recovery, sight to the blind. Yes, in the natural. Jesus did that. He healed the blind. But also, how about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus? God blinded him. How about the sorcerer that Paul later on said, no, be blind. Healing will come to that, just like Paul. Healing came to him, but he had to go to the very place that he was mocking and attacking to get his healing. He was going to deal with the preachers, and it took a preacher to get his healing back. So God will heal, yes, the natural blindness, but more so, Paul's issue wasn't just natural blindness, though it was. It was the spiritual blindness. He thought he was doing God's work. Until Jesus said, Lord, Paul, how long are you going to do this? How far are you, what he was saying, translated, how far are you going to push me? How far are you going to resist me before I push back? And that was Jesus' pushback moment with him. Like, all right, I have a great work for you, but this is not it. Translating, John Kamensky translation, you've ticked me off, but I love you. So I'm not going to kill you, but I need to deal with you. And this is how I'm going to deal with you. The very thing you were going to do and the people who you're going to persecute, you're going to have to humble yourself now and go before them, because you're not going to be able to see a thing until you understand you're going against me. So it's not just natural. It was spiritual blindness. And it takes the anointing of God to lift that spiritual blindness. Because it's not just doctrine that can get you spiritually blind. Hurts, pains, betrayals, offenses, loss. I don't know, disappointment. Anybody ever been disappointed? I know that's a rhetorical question because we all have. You know, when things don't go our way or the way we think they should have, or how many of, don't answer, but I already know the answer. How many have ever prayed for something and you didn't get the answer you wanted and you were disappointed? Well, God has his reasons. Or maybe God hasn't answered yet. Everything's in his time. He'll answer if he wants to. And he'll do what he wants to. But that disappointment can bring us to a place where we start to get blinded. Oh, don't give me that my God heals. I was believing for healing and it hasn't happened. Oh, don't tell me this is going to work out and all things are going to work to my good. Nothing good ever happens for me. Well, that goes back to our offering time. Guard your mouth. Amen. See, the anointing of God will bring sight to the blind. Again, it's not just the world. That happens right here in the house of God. Now, I don't have time because we have a helps meeting that we're having in just a few moments here. But if you were to go to Matthew chapter 13, I'll probably hit this on Tuesday night to make a part two of this. Matthew 13 deals with Jesus. It's the most powerful parable that you and I have in the scriptures. Jesus said about this parable, he said, if you do not understand this one, you won't get any of them. And it's talking about the seed sown, the word of the seed sown into the heart of a believer. But Jesus said there's four ground conditions. There's the wayside heart. There's the stony heart. There's the thorny heart. But then there's good ground. You and I need to be good ground. Now, I'm bringing this up only because we're going to deal with this more on Tuesday night, because I don't want to close this without this statement, because I know I won't see all of you on Tuesday night. 2 Timothy tells us that all scripture is good, given by God, right? Inspired by God. Men wrote it, but God said it. It's good for what? Do you remember? Reproof, correction, direction in righteous living. It'll deal with us. It'll help us. It'll encourage us. It'll strengthen us. All scripture. Say all scripture. That means even the ones you don't like. Even the ones you don't agree with. Even for the ones that you think don't apply to you. God said all. They're all good. Going back to the ground conditions. The only ground condition that, you know, seemed to produce anything, and it said 30, 60, 100 fold. That doesn't mean God was okay with the 30. Doesn't mean God was okay with the 60. He's looking for a 100-fold return on his word in our lives. He's just saying some ground, good ground conditions only produce this, some produce this, some produce this. But it was the other three ground conditions. The wayside. See, and I'm ending with this one. When you become blinded spiritually, even though you once received the word of God, once enjoyed the word of God, once lived by the word of God, when you become spiritually blinded, your heart now becomes wayside. And it starts turning and it'll bring you to the place where I don't need that. I don't want that. I'm beyond that. I know more. I've done this long enough. I've gone far enough. Oh, there's many different sayings that people come up with as to why they don't have to, why they shouldn't have to, why they don't want to hear it. The problem is, please listen to, if you didn't hear anything else I said today, please listen to this right now. The problem with developing an attitude towards God's word about anything that's being preached from the word to believers, when you develop that attitude of I don't need, I don't want, I don't like in one area, get ready for that leaven to leaven every doctrine you've ever heard. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Jesus even warned to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus warned about just a little bit destroying everything. Like I said, I'm going to deal with this a little bit more on Tuesday night. But please, if you didn't hear anything else this morning, get that. So check your heart. Check your attitude when the word's being preached. Check your attitude when something's being said that you don't like. Take it to the word. Is that what it says? Well, yeah, that's what it says, but I don't like it. Doesn't matter. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
So don't get mad at the preacher. God said it. So if God said it, that settles it. So Lord, just help me. Help me to deal with my attitude towards this. Help me to deal with my mind towards this. Help me to get my life aligned back up to this so I can enjoy that anointing once again, to enjoy all these things that we just talked about. And so I can also bring that same anointing back to my family, back to the workplace, back to the shopping centers, back to the gas stations, back to wherever God brings me. Because that anointing's not just for in here. We should get filled up in here to take it out there. That we can bring everybody to this place, that God can work in their lives and draw them to Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, stand to your feet this morning. Lift your hands to heaven. I want to pray for you. And like I said, when we come back on Tuesday, we're going to deal with this a little bit deeper, go a little bit further with it. Amen. Father, I thank you right now for the anointing that comes with your presence. Lord, I thank you that we got a body of believers here that love you, want you. We want to walk with you. We want to get closer to you. So, Lord, I thank you. The closer we get to you, the stronger that anointing will be upon our lives. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that that anointing goes with us today. It stays with us. It keeps us. It propels us. It does everything that we just looked at for a few moments this morning and more. But may that anointing bring healing and strength to us, joy and peace to us, encouragement, direction, understanding to us. May it stand us up once again. May it strengthen us and solidify us, plant us in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, anybody that might be dealing with anything, any issue that maybe I mentioned it specifically. Maybe they're just going through some things in their lives right now. Maybe they're dealing with things that have been going on for decades. Lord, you know. It takes your anointing to bring healing and strength. So Lord, I pray right now, whatever that deal may be, heal their hearts. Bring peace to their minds, peace to their souls. Whatever that issue is, whatever that problem is, whatever that defilement was, whatever that tragedy was, Lord, bring healing to them, peace to them right now. Doesn't mean that it's okay. Doesn't mean that what people did was right. They never means that. But Lord, I thank you right now that forgiveness will begin to work and flow in their lives. Healing will begin to take place. Peace will return. Strength will come back. The joy, just like the disciples on that day, when they said among themselves, when he walked with us and preached the word to us, did our hearts not burn within us? Your anointing brings that back. Lord, help us and help anybody in here right now that might be dealing with stuff. You're the master at this. Only you can do this. So, Father, I thank you for your anointing to rest on all of us today and to continue to minister to us as we leave here. Continue to deal with us as we go about our business. And Lord, I feel to pray this one out too. Lord, help those that are living in this place of misery, pain, suffering, but they just don't even remember why or how they got there. Release them from that right now, that they can walk in that fresh new anointing that you have for them and bring healing to them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I also speak over our bodies right now. Strengthen our bodies, health in our bodies. Peace to any storm that may be in our body right now. Lord, I thank you. We've got so many miracle testimonies in this house. You healing, you strengthening, you delivering. Lord, I thank you for more of them. So if anybody's dealing with stuff right now, I speak healing into our bodies right now. By your stripes, we were. Therefore, we are. So Lord, help us deal with those issues, those problems. Deal with our mouth. Deal with our attitude. And believe you for the healing that you said that we could have. In Jesus' name, can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, give the Lord a good hand clap.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.